Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Airs LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. Hello, I'm Carrie Gibson. Welcome to this podcast of Articles from the Atlantic, a presentation by Airs LA. Today's article is by Ann Applebaum from the August 16, 2025 edition. Trump has no cards. Why would Putin need to make a deal with him? President Donald Trump berated President Volodymyr Zelensky in the Oval Office. He allowed the Pentagon twice to halt prearranged military shipments to Ukraine. He promised that when the current tranche of armaments runs out, there will be no more. He has cut or threatened to cut the U.S. funds that previously supported independent Russian language media and opposition. His administration is slowly, quietly easing sanctions on Russia, ending basic sanctions and export control actions that had maintained and increased U.S. pressure, according to a Senate minority report. Every month he spent in office without action has strengthened Putin's hand, weakened ours, and undermined Ukraine's own efforts to bring an end to the war. Senators Jean Shaheen and Elizabeth Warren wrote in a joint statement. Many of these changes have gone almost unremarked on in the United States, but they are widely known in Russia. The administration's attacks on Zelensky, Europeans, and Voice of America have been celebrated on Russian television. Of course, Vladimir Putin knows about the slow lifting of sanctions. As a result, the Russian president has clearly made a calculation. Trump, to use the language he once hurled at Zelensky, has no cards. Trump does say that he wants to end the war in Ukraine, and sometimes he also says that he is angry that Putin doesn't. But if the U.S. is not willing to use any economic, military, or political tools to help Ukraine, if Trump will not put any diplomatic pressure on Putin or any new sanctions on Russian sources, then the U.S. president's fond wish to be seen as a peacemaker can be safely ignored. No wonder all of Trump's negotiating deadlines for Russia have passed to no effect, and no wonder the invitation to Anchorage produced no result. There is not much else to say about yesterday's Trump-Putin meeting in Alaska other than to observe the intertwining elements of tragedy and farce. It was embarrassing for Americans to welcome a notorious wanted war criminal on their territory. It was humiliating to watch an American president act like a happy puppy upon encountering the dictator of a much poorer, much less important state, treating him as a superior. It's excruciating to imagine how badly Trump's diplomatic envoy, Steve Witkoff, an amateur out of his depth, misunderstood his last meeting with Putin in Moscow if he thought that the Alaska summit was going to be successful. It's ominous that Trump now says he doesn't want to push for a ceasefire, but instead for peace negotiations, because the latter formula gives Putin time to keep killing Ukrainians. It's strange that Russian reports of the meeting focused on business cooperation. Quote, Russian-American business and investment partnership has huge potential, end quote, Putin said today. I appreciate that many Ukrainians, Europeans, and of course Americans are relieved that Trump didn't announce something worse. He didn't call for Ukrainian capitulation or for Ukraine to cede territory. Unless there are secret protocols, perhaps some business deals that we haven't learned about, Anchorage will probably not be remembered as one of history's crime scenes, a new Munich conference, or a Molotov-Ribbentrop pact. But that's a very low bar to reach. The better way to understand Anchorage is not as the start of something new, but as the culmination of a longer process. As the U.S. dismantles its foreign policy tools, as this administration fires the people who know how to use them, our ability to act with any agility will diminish. From the Treasury Department to the U.S. Agency for Global Media, from the State Department to the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, agency after agency is being undermined, deliberately or accidentally, by political appointees who are unqualified, craven, or hostile to their own mission. The U.S. has no cards because we've been giving them away. If we ever want to play again, we will have to win them back. Arm Ukraine, expand sanctions, stop the lethal drone swarms, break the Russian economy, and win the war. Then there will be peace. That brings us to the end of today's article, Trump Has No Cards. If you want to learn more about Airs LA and the types of programs we offer, follow us by clicking on the social media links at the top of our web pages. If you like what you see or hear, please click the like button. This podcast is for the sole use of our blind, low vision, and printed impaired listeners. Any unauthorized use is prohibited. I'm Carrie Gibson, and I will be back soon with another article. Thanks for listening.